All right. So the first person we're going to talk about is the person who has the privilege of prayer, is the Christian who has Jesus as their high priest. God will answer the prayers of his children, the righteous, the obedient, and holy men. And all this is going to be on your handout, but if you want to take notes, go right ahead. That'll be okay. Jesus has become our high priest. We find this in Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. He is now a merciful and faithful high priest, able to aid his brother. Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Also, because of Jesus, we are able to approach God's throne boldly. We read this in Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 14. And I'll paraphrase this. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And then verse 16, let us then approach God's throne in grace with confidence. And finally, he is able to save to the uttermost since he ever lives to intercede. That's in Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Also, Jesus has now become our advocate and mediator. He is our advocate with the Father in 1 John 2:1. He is the one mediator between God and man in 1 Timothy 2:5. And Jesus makes the intercession for us at the right hand of God. That's Romans 8:34. So such is the blessing of those who have put on Christ in baptism and become children of God through faith. That comes from Galatians 3:26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, who are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ. Any questions about that? Christians, God hearing the prayers of Christians and his followers.
Brother Lynn, I've always kind of wondered a little bit about that, and I believe that too, that he listens to his children and not others. But you know, then you get an example, say like Paul, when he was persecuted in church, you know, Christ had already been crucified. So He wasn't a Christian. Mm-hmm. But he did tell Ananias, you know, he's been praying for 3 days.
Right.
So does that mean more like, I mean, he might hear us?
Matter of fact, let's go
like listen to us.
Matter of fact, let's go to the next slide and see what it says. All right. The second person who has the privilege of prayer is the sinner seeking truth and righteousness. Is that what you're talking about? Close. This we learn from the example of Cornelius. I'm using Cornelius as my example, which brings up a question. Was Cornelius the first Gentile convert? The first Gentile convert. Supposedly? Don't know. Probably he was, even though some people was going to argue about the Ethiopian eunuch who was actually an African Jew. But as far as we know, Cornelius was the first Gentile convert. Cornelius was a good man, but he was still in need of salvation. We read that in Acts 10, 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. But then in 11, verse 14, it tells us that his household was not saved. His prayers and alms had been noticed by God. We read that in Acts 10. Verse 30 actually says, 3 days ago I was in your house praying. A man in shining clothes stood before me. And then verse 31, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. So he had been praying and he'd been given alms. So God saw to it that he had an opportunity to hear the words whereby he could be saved, and that is, of course, the gospel of Christ. That's in Acts 11:14. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. We need to note, though, he was not saved by saying a prayer per se. He did not say what we would commonly call the sinner's prayer, which brings up the question, where in the Bible do you find the sinner's prayer or a variation of the sinner's prayer?
think you
Does anybody
do.
Know?
I don't think you do.
You do not. It's not in there. Very good, Pat.
Thank you.
He needed to hear words by which he could be saved. That's in Acts 11:14 we just read. And that is to say the gospel of Christ, which is God's power to salvations. Romans 1:16. Then just as Saul of Tarsus was still in his sins despite praying, it's exactly the same way Cornelius was. And when we talk about Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9:11 says he was praying, but then in chapter 22, verse 16, he's told to get up and be baptized. So yet God heard the prayer of a sinner like Cornelius. He was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's Matthew 5:6. He was asking, seeking, and knocking. That's in Matthew 7. And he was provided an opportunity to one day hear and obey the gospel of Christ. So for a sinner seeking truth and righteousness, such prayers will be heard. There's a caveat, though. He has to be seeking truth and righteousness. So any questions?
So if you're gambling at the casino and you pray for a royal flush, no,
it
probably is not.
It doesn't work.
Problem? Are you speaking from experience? No, probably not. To answer your question.
But you do hear people saying
I know. I know. Yeah. That would be a selfish prayer, wouldn't it? Like, let me win the lottery and I'll give half of it to the church. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Roy?
We have a friend down in Cape Coral who, she was in a hurry. So she was going down Main Street and she hit every light just perfectly and got to her thing on time. So she tells us and her husband that, you know, God was with her and that she prayed to make it through. And her husband said, well, what about the other people who are in a hurry that missed the light?
I had to stop.
Yeah.
I'm the same way sometimes. Are you riding around a parking lot and you find that one right in the front, you know? So
the thing that always got me about this is that God knows everything. So if he knows everything, he's got to hear a prayer that's even said out of selfishness. He has to know everything. I mean, he knows everything going on.
Yeah.
This is talking about how a woman hears a man, not how a man.
I'm not saying he doesn't hear the prayer. What we're talking about is his answer in the prayer.
His response.
His response, yeah.
And hearing something, listening to it, two different things.
Exactly. And we talked about some the first week, so you're absolutely right.
Got it.
Okay, God will not answer the prayers of those who are disobedient to God's law, and there's a bunch of scriptures about that which will be in your handout. As an example, 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He does not answer the prayers of those who are unforgiving toward others. James 2:13 talks about judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. He will not answer the prayers of those who have unforgiven sin in their life. Isaiah 59, also John 9. John 9:31 says, God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. We talked about some of that the first week, talking about the acts of prayer and confession. Look at this D one, or number four. God will not answer the prayers of those who mistreat their spouse. Somebody ever heard that before? No? Turn to 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. And whoever gets there can go ahead and read it.
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers.
All right. Treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Is he talking strictly to the husbands there?
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it goes both ways. He is talking to husbands, but in my opinion, it goes both ways. So there you go, spouses. And finally, he will not hear the prayers of those who are self-righteous, those asking for lottery winning or casino winning. That comes from Luke 18, 9 through 14. Verse 14 says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted."
Well, now, that brings up an interesting point. If he doesn't hear the prayer for the lottery, if you say, "I'll give half to so-and-so," like the church, you say, and he didn't hear that, then he's not going to hold you with that, right?
If I pray to win the lottery, not that I ever play the lottery, but if I did, I'm saying people that just go in that are heathens that don't ever have a care, but they'll still say, "Oh God, please give me this." Vegas needs a new pair of shoes, whatever that. But I do think he would hear it I don't know that he would give it to me, but I think he would hear me say it and consider it.
y'all are missing the point here. I'm not saying God doesn't hear the prayers. He doesn't answer the prayers. And the first week we gave four answers that he gives the prayers. Y'all remember what they are?
Yes, 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 and no.
Yes, 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 and no. That's close. Definitely yes.
Yes, no.
A yes, but maybe later. A yes, but not necessarily the way you've asked for it, but it may be even better. There's the third one we don't think about. And then, of course, no. So there's different ways he can answer the prayer. He can say no. I'm not going to let you allow you to win the lottery because you may not know how to take care of that money. You may not be a good money management person. And, so does that answer your question, Wayne? You just had a comment. Yeah, okay. Yes, sir.
James 4:3, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend
your own passions. Right, right. That falls under the selfishness, yeah.
James 4:3.
So the ears of the Lord are open to the prayer of the righteous. We learn that in 1 Peter 3:12. Also, we must submit to the righteousness of God's offering in Christ. That's Romans 10, 1 through 4. Verse 3 says, "Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." And lastly, in this section, that is to say, we must respond to the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16. So if we desire the privilege of prayer, then we must be either a faithful child of God through obedience to Jesus Christ, or a sinner with a good and noble heart seeking after truth and righteousness. God knows the answer, knows the difference. We don't. So the privilege of prayer is not extended to everyone. It is a blessing graciously given to those whose hearts are in a proper condition. If the sinner, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, will be filled, how much more will the child of God be filled when he or she experiences the privilege of prayer in all its fullness? Any questions? Yes, sir. All right.
With this God hear things and not hear, even we as people will say, "I'm not even going to answer that."
Yeah. Like when your child asks you a stupid question.
He doesn't like to be kept in a box either.
Right.
God doesn't like to be, I'll pull you out of there when I need something. I'm going to call on you. I want you to hear me.
Yeah.
He's not going to appreciate that.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people do. They had nothing to do with God until something bad happened.
Right.
Or they want something or something immediate. Oh, then they're ready to get him out of that box.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk to you now.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
I got friends like that.
People like that. Or they even say,
I'm guilty of that a lot sometimes.
God, I believe something created everything, but I don't know if it's the God you talked about this.
Right.
And then they'll turn and say, "Well, I've been praying about something." Well, to who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, who are you praying to?
Well, like we said, one week, I don't remember exactly which week, I read a statement that everybody at some point will say a prayer. It may be the atheist at the day of judgment, but they will say a prayer. And that may be the only time they say a prayer to God. So, yes, sir.
I've always believed the saying that there will be no atheists in hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, along the same lines. Any other comments?
I just think we have to be careful because God brings people under trials to bring them to Him.
Well, correct, yeah.
So to say that just because a person never prayed that now they have some kind of death in the family or a miscarriage or something that's, and all of a sudden now they turn to God, I wouldn't say that He doesn't hear that prayer.
No, I'm not saying they didn't hear it.
Or that He would not respond to it.
Yeah, I'm not saying He might not respond to it, yeah. I'm not, you know, he does His thing. He can do anything and everything. So He knows the heart. He knows the heart. And if you're praying to win the lottery because you just want the money, he knows that. And I'm not saying, well, if you say, if I win the lottery, I'll give half of it to the church. I'm not saying He would still give you the winning numbers. Did y'all hear about the guy who won 300 something million the other day from the numbers on the fortune cookie?
Oh,
did y'all
no,
hear about that?
Really?
Yeah. That's where he said he got the numbers was from the fortune cookie.
We're going to Chinese food.
So.
Did
the fortune cookie want part of that? Yeah. He was the only one. He was the only one who held that ticket, him and his wife.
Wow.
So wow. Anyway. All right. Today we're going to cover another subject. If you remember the first week, I gave you a bunch of topics, and I warned you that some weeks we will be doubling up. So the second topic for today is, for what should we pray? And this is so we've kind of touched on some of it. Sometimes we do not remember what to pray for or do not know what to pray for. Following is a list, a sample of potentially what we can and should pray about. We should pray that God's will be done. Matthew 6, of course, says, your will be done. That's, of course, what we commonly call, or from what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, which we'll talk about more next week. We'll unpack the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer next week. But also in John 4:34, to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. And in Matthew 26:42, may your will be done. Also, we should pray for the daily necessities of life. Again, Matthew 6, we pray for our daily bread. And in Matthew 6, 24 through 34, this is that long scripture where he talks about the birds. Basically, he takes care of the birds. And then he goes on and talks about clothes. And verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So that's our daily needs. We should pray for forgiveness of our sins. Matthew 6:12, of course, talks about forgive us our debts. Acts 8:22, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We should pray for God's help. Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Then 2 Peter 2:4-10. Verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And there's more. All these are in your handout. He talks about James 5:13. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. If I start speeding up, y'all just flag me down if you want to jump in. We should pray for preachers and church leaders of the gospel. Romans 15:30 talks about join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. That's Paul's statement. First Thessalonians, he tells the brothers and sisters to pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. So what should we pray for when we're praying for preachers and church leaders? What should we be praying for?
That they win
the lottery. That they what? They win the lottery. Oh, okay.
Wisdom.
Huh?
Wisdom.
Okay.
Okay,
very good.
Spirit-led.
Speak the truth. We don't pray about that too much. Their families, especially the PKs. Especially the PKs.
Discernment,
to know the difference in right and wrong.
PK.
Preacher's kid.
Oh.
Preacher's kid, and EKs. PKs seem, my experience, the PKs are worse than the EKs, but you have to remember, I went to a four-year Church of Christ school. I saw them, so. So anyway, one thing I wrote down, and this was on my heart the last few days, we should pray that they're not afraid to offend someone. They're not afraid to be politically correct. They should be not afraid to stand up for the truth, like somebody said. There's a lot of churches, and a lot of them on this street are represented by potential church splits because of basically one topic. Anybody know what that topic is? Yeah, we talked about it some other day. Yeah, last night.
Homosexuality.
The Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, is probably going to split over it. The Presbyterian Church in America, which the little church next door is a member of, they're probably going to split over it. The Baptists, Southern Baptists, are going through it. The Catholics has already been through it.
Yeah, I just seen something in the paper having a big deal about it now.
The Catholics? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the reasons why I said spirit-led, because when you are led by the Spirit, you're going to do what Scripture says.
Right.
No matter what, whether or not it's politically correct or not, because there are a lot of people, the homosexual thing is definitely, we're going to have a lot of church splits. It's going to be, like you said, across the board
mm-hmm.
because of that one issue.
Mm-hmm.
We know what homosexuality is. Sydney talked about it this morning.
Now the problem is not, let me go on record and say, the problem is not that we want to close the door if someone who comes to church is a homosexual. We don't want to do that. We want to show them truth. The problem these churches are having is they're thinking a homosexual can be in a leadership position. That is the argument. That was the discussion at the Methodist Convention back earlier next year. The PCA is meeting this week. That is going to be a big discussion about them, their situation. Both of y'all had your hand up at some point.
She can go first.
Okay.
Revelations tells us not to add to, take away from, or change God's word in any way. So if you stand firm on God's word, then it's not an issue.
Well, I understand what you're saying. But people make it an issue.
They do make it an issue, but if you come to God's word and you know what God's word says, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Not that if a homosexual walked in, I would say you're not welcome here.
No.
But the reality is they need to be taught the truth.
Absolutely.
They need to accept the truth.
Right. Right.
Everybody who walks in the church has seen it.
Exactly.
So to say a homosexual can't come to church would be.
I didn't say that.
I
didn't say that.
But I'm not sure what they're saying.
They're demanding to be put in a leadership position.
And but a practice.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're not saying I used to do this thing was wrong. We all got to say it.
Right.
That's not to say like I'm going to just keep doing it. And you're going to accept it. And you're going to put me in a leadership role.
That's what they want. And a lot of Catholic priests who have been accused of child issues. Are non-practicing homosexuals who, when they were put in that priesthood position, they said, well, I'm a homosexual, but I'm not practicing. That was their statement. So, anyway, I digress. Yes, sir.
Just one thing that when we're talking about that, we have to be really careful right now because the media is really trying to desensitize everybody to this.
Yes.
And I saw, being in real estate, I get a lot of real estate magazines and stuff, and Zillow is now advertising gayborhoods.
Oh.
And so I...
Gay neighborhoods.
Gay neighborhoods.
Yeah.
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 And they're really promoting it.
Yeah.
And I, for anybody who's using Zillow, I would suggest you use something else. We need to get... That's just not right.
There was a whole table of books that, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but two tables in front of where Patrice was signing her book, there was a whole table of homosexual-related type books and homemade cookies with the rainbow and all that sort of stuff. It was very discreet, but it was there on the whole table. Every book on there that I looked at, looked at the cover. I didn't look at it. You know, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, but anyway. And these and TV shows and commercials are sliding it in. Sometimes it's just a little blip. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Sometimes it's just a little blip, but you have to, and you don't know, really notice it.
It's not representative of what the whole country is.
No, it is not. But that's how Satan is getting into the church and everywhere else. That's the tool Satan is using right now, in my opinion. Okay, I just went off on a tangent because it was on my thing. We should pray for earthly rulers, and we talked some about this a couple of weeks ago. We should pray for those that are appointed, also those who are elected, and pray for those who are elected that we did not vote for. And that's from the local mayor all the way up to the president of the United States and everything in between. We should pray for the welfare of the city and the place where we live. We get that from Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Well, if Destin prospers anymore, we're going to have so much traffic, it's going to be terrible. But what's the purpose of praying for our community to prosper?
We all require it. We all need it to live. It's our subsistence basis,
right,
based on it.
And potentially more people do move here that need the gospel, for one thing. Yeah. Also, it helps our property values go up. So, anyway. And also, but Psalms 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. That's, in my opinion, is so that we get along with our neighbors. We need to get along with our neighbors. And, of course, everybody's our neighbor, not just the guy across the street. We should pray for more laborers to enter the harvest. John 4:35, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. In Matthew 9:37-38, ask the Lord to send out workers into this harvest field. We should pray that others may be saved. This is not that we should pray for, this is not a prayer of salvation, but that others will come to Christ for salvation. There is a difference. Again, we're not talking about the sinner's prayer. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He's talking about a spiritual healing, not necessarily a physical healing. Any questions?
Why do you think God would say no to that prayer?
For healing?
No, others to be saved.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Who says he says no?
Well, he either says yes later, or no, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're knocking free will out of the picture.
Well, that's a subject for a whole different day.
Well, I'm saying is you pray for people to be saved,
yeah,
come to Christ,
right,
to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel. He's not going to make them do it.
If they're not willing, if the Spirit can't prick their heart, they won't do it. Yeah.
But we also, in that same tone, pray
Right.
Because, and I've been wanting to say this for a while, I have a gentleman that has started to work with us. His mother used to attend here, but he doesn't have any. Every time I start a religious conversation with him, he tried to turn it off.
Yeah.
But just pray for me and for him that I can be a vessel to him so that he will at least open his ears.
Right.
To be attentive to God's word, not mine.
Right.
The Spirit.
Almost every week.
His name is Jasper, by the way. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Almost every week, you probably there that Gene Carter at Home Group asked for us to pray for her dad, who is not a Christian.
Right.
And we keep praying for him, but not yet has he become one. So I don't really. And maybe he will later.
Right.
So I'm not saying it won't happen, but I guess I certainly have seen instances where people were prayed to be saved and they didn't.
Right.
Well, that person's got to be willing to be saved.
He's got to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of him.
Well, so you could pray that he would be willing to be saved. Is that what you're suggesting?
We pray that his heart be softened. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of saying it. So, yeah. So, it should seem obvious that God did not list everything for which we can pray. However, what he has given us in his book can help to illustrate the kinds of things and persons for which we can pray. It might be beneficial to make a list of the various things you want and feel the need to pray about each day. That's a lot of words to basically say, keep a prayer journal. We were talking to... After the book signing, Leroy and Patricia and Susan and I went to, where'd we go? Outback, which is right down from Barnes & Noble. And the question, the subject came up of a prayer journal. And I understand Patrice is very diligent in keeping her prayer journal. And so, I don't. But Patrice does and does a good job what understand and keeps up with it. So, we got 4 minutes and 32 seconds left. Has God ever told someone not to pray for a person or a group of people?
Yeah.
When?
I couldn't give you a specific book and chapter, but I've read it everywhere. It says don't pray for them.
But you don't remember when? You remember the reason why? Everybody be turning to Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah 7.
Yeah.
I'll take you a minute because it's hard to find sometimes.
Jeremiah
7 is where we're going to start. And I'm not going to give you the whole backstory here, but the nation of Judah basically had turned their backs on Jesus, on God. And... they were letting a lot of sinful things come into their surroundings. Is everybody there yet? 3 times Jeremiah received instructions from God not to pray for the people of Judah. We start out in Jeremiah 7, verse 16. This is God talking. Someone want to read that?
As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you.
All right, Jeremiah 11, verse 14. Same situation. Again, God is talking. Someone wants to read that when you get there.
Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress.
And third time, Jeremiah 14, verse 11. Chapter 14, verse 11. This time, Jeremiah is the one talking.
Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for the well-being of this people.
Okay, so 3 times, twice, God is telling Jeremiah not to pray for the nation of Judah, and Judah is saying, okay, I will not pray for them. So does this give us the right to stop praying for someone?
God tells us.
Is he going to tell us that, you think?
The thing is, once you get to the New Testament, then he says, pray for your enemies, which is a tough
one. That's tough, yeah.
You know, because, and not only that, not just for somebody don't like you, but he says for people that despise you,
mm-hmm,
and use you and abuse you,
yeah,
pray for those people.
Right.
So I don't know if that, you know, that's just out of the law and into the New Testament, you know, love your neighbor like you love yourself thing.
Right. God had judged Judah, and he knew their hearts, like we talked about earlier, but we do not have that ability. So we should continue to pray for people. Any comments or questions?
That thing, do not plead with me. Where in the Bible did someone plead with God? Several places in regarding the time he was going to die. Was it Nehemiah or something like that? There's two different instances, I thought, where they went to God, where their time was going to be up, and they went to God and plead for more time.
More time? See, that sounds familiar, but I can't place it right off. Vaughn, you...
Yeah, I know that he was extended 15 years on his life. I'm
two slides behind, sorry. Vaughn?
And we saw disobeyed, and God had taken the kingdom away from him. Samuel pleaded for him. Samuel prayed to God for him and pleaded for him. And God said, don't pray, because we rejected him as king of Israel.
Yeah.
So you might be thinking of that, but that was one instance. And we said, I'm taking the kingdom away from him. I'm going to give it to somebody else.
Yeah. Roy?
In those four verses in Jeremiah, it's interesting, the first verse, God says, I will not hear your prayer.
Right.
And the next two, he says, I will not listen.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about hearing and listening, and he addresses both of them,
mm-hmm,
right there.
Mm-hmm.
In Jeremiah's situation, he's prophesying for God, and God is just saying, I've made up my mind.
Right, mm-hmm, right.
That's why I don't think it's not as accurate a place to go for how do we practice our prayer.
Right.
Saying, look, this judgment is coming.
Right.
It's not going to change. This is exactly what's going
to
happen.
And you have to read the backstory. You have to read all of chapter 7 to get the backstory. So
the idea of not praying is this is going on. This is going forward. This
right, is not going to change. Right, right. But the whole point is God knew Judah's heart. He knew there was no hope. So he's saying don't waste your time. Sort of like don't throw your pearls to the swine type of thing. So
it's coming and it's not going to come.
Right. I left out a slide. Oh, well. The slide was, someone reminded me to pass out the handouts. So I don't know what happened to that slide.
You don't put it in there. We're not going to.
I think it's out at the end. I think it's coming up. And I went in and didn't change it when I wanted to. All right, I got two questions for you. With some valuable prizes. How many prayers are there in the Bible? How many prayers are there, or at least are referenced in the Bible?
David, say all of them.
All of them? I need a number. Start throwing out numbers.
How many prayers
are there in the Bible? Either actual prayers, and I see some of you going to Google and all that.
Give us a range, man.
Between one and...
Oh.
Between one and 1,000.
800.
800. How many?
472.
777.
777.
666.
It's got to
be
100.
I'd say
at
least
33.
150.
222. Depends on who you talk. Depends on what site you go to. Because Paul was given credit for like 40 of them, and David probably got 100 in just Psalms. So y'all laugh, but the number 666 is actually the closest, according to Herbert Lockyer. I'm way out of whack. There's that slide. All right. I'm way behind.
650.
All right. according to Herbert Lockyer, it's 650. Now, I didn't go through there and verify that, so I'm taking his word on it. You've got a choice. You want a cup or a duck? Cup or a duck? You take the duck?
He's an Aflac duck.
Oh, those are cool squeezers.
He doesn't tweet.
You can play with that in the bathroom.
So anyway, 650 is what this guy says. How many recorded answers to prayer are listed in the Bible?
How many prayers?
how many answers are there in the Bible? 127?
400.
400?
401.
How many did he say yes to?
No, it's answered. How many recorded answers to prayer are listed in the Bible?
Say
650. 650? How many did you say, Pat?
400.
It's 450.
Oshkosh bagosh.
Which is how I got down here. That's I worked for them for a while. So anyway, any questions or comments about the class in general?
It's good. Thank you.
Next week we will talk about, do we need to be taught how to pray? And we, like I said earlier, we're going to unpack the Lord's Prayer a little bit, or what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. We're going to give it a couple of different titles. The comic that was on the first slide is on your back page. Handout took 3 pages, so I said, I got the paper, might as well throw it on there. So, all right, let's say a quick prayer before we're dismissed. Father, we thank you for being willing to hear us, willing to answer us, willing to strengthen us, willing to build our faith up, and willing to teach us how to love you. Give us favor in all that we do this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.